ask that you continue to pray for me to stand before you. Luke chapter 17. We'd like to start reading at the 11th verse and cover down through the 19th verse of Luke chapter 17. And it came to pass as he went to Jerusalem, that's talking about Christ, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. As he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voices and said, "Jesus, Master, have mercy on us." When he saw them, he said to them, "Go, show yourselves unto the priest." And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, "Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God save this stranger." And he said unto him, "Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." So many beautiful stories that we have written in the Gospels of Luke, all the 4 Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. But this one seems to impress our heart the most this morning as we begin to think about the holiday that we've just come through, a holiday of Thanksgiving. And that's probably one of my favorite holidays of the year is Thanksgiving. It's one that hasn't been marred, has it? So much attention has been put on some of the other ones, and they've just been corrupted so much that Thanksgiving's been kind of left alone. And I'm kind of thankful for that. I think it's a good holiday to get together and to give thanks. And as I begin to think about that, there are so many things. It doesn't take me long to think about the things that I have to be thankful for. Obviously, one of them around Thanksgiving is you associate food and friends, don't you, and family. Primarily, your family comes together at Thanksgiving, the ones, your loved ones that maybe you haven't seen in a long time. And it's just a special time that everybody gets together and everybody's, or at least it's been my experience, everybody's always in a good mood. Everybody's always glad to see one another. There's always a lot of chattering from the kitchen all the way to the living room, and everybody's talking. And it's just a wonderful time to get together with family and friends. And you know, I'm thankful for that. What a thankful thing it is to be able to get together. You know, Thanksgiving was brought about by our earlier ancestors who founded this country, and Thanksgiving for this land. And how we ought to give thanks for this land that God has given us to freely, as Brother Barry said in his prayer, we ought to be thankful that we're able to freely preach His Word in this land. And there's so many other things I have to be thankful of. I'm thankful for, as I said, my family. I'm thankful for my health. I'm thankful for my job that I have, my house, my food, my clothing, my raiment. I'm thankful for all of those things that God has blessed me to have. Sometimes I don't show that thankfulness, though, like I ought to. Sometimes it takes a removing of one of those things or something like that before we really remember to be thankful. We have a case here where there are 10 lepers here, and they saw Jesus Christ coming, walking by, and they stood afar off. They stood afar off because they were lepers, and that's what a leper was supposed to do. A leper couldn't get close to anybody else. In fact, a leper, if he was to cry to anybody else, he was to cry, "Unclean, unclean," with a cloth over his upper lip, the Bible says in the 13th chapter of Leviticus. If anybody were to come close to him, you know, when we think about that, I want to put myself, if I can, this morning, and let's try to put ourselves in the situation of where these 10 lepers are. And let's remember their condition and what they're going through in this leprosy. They have this disease, this bacteria called leprosy. a disease that causes great pain. It can cause deformity in the hands and in the feet and in the face. It can actually cause your fingers and your toes to come off. It causes a numbing right where the leprosy is at in your hands. It causes a numbing of the senses so that when you burn yourself or you hurt your hand or something like that, you don't know it. Your hand goes to getting infected. You don't know it's infected. You have nothing to tell you. You have no warning sign. Your brain's not telling you your hand's infected. And you have all these open wounds and all these open sores on you. You can become blind. There's blindness that comes with leprosy. These are people that were this way, that were in this state and in this condition. What a wonderful, what a terrible thing it is to know, I can stand pain and discomfort just a little while. I can handle the nurse when she goes to Craig Martin and says, Mr. Latham, this is just going to be for a second. I can handle that, all right, if it's just for a second. Now, if she said, now, Mr. Latham, this is going to last several hours here, I'd begin to think whether or not I really needed that shot. I mean, that prick is not that bad, but it's not that bad because I know it's not going to last that long. But what about somebody with leprosy that's living in that shape and in that condition? And not only are they physically in pain, and they can't function, leprosy, your legs, the muscles of your legs become weakened, and you get to where you can't hardly walk around. You become and back then, and in a lot of places now in India where leprosy is still very common, it's considered a curse. People aren't there to help you out. Families will throw you out. And you have to go and you have to depend on begging to try to live, to try to get by. Your family won't do anything with you if you get this. You know, it's a rare thing in North America. I think I read one time where there's only about 1,500 or 1,600 cases of leprosy in America, and the majority of those cases are people from other countries that have come in. But back in Leviticus chapter 13 and chapter 14, we see where that the law of the leper, when he had leprosy, when he was in this shape and in this condition, he was considered defiled. His clothes were rent from him. His clothes were rent from him. His head was shaven, and he was sent away from his family. He was moved out. He could not live with his family. He could not live around his loved ones. He couldn't be with them anymore. He couldn't hold them. He couldn't be under the same roof with them. Can you imagine what that must be like? All of a sudden, right now, today, if you find out you had leprosy, back in this day, that you were to be removed from them until that leprosy was cleared, until that leprosy was gone, and then for many people, the leprosy never did depart from them, that it carried them through right to death, and that would be the end of their life for years and years if they lived in this state and condition, and if somebody were to even get close to them, and they didn't recognize that they had leprosy, they were to holler, unclean, unclean. That's to say, no, don't come any closer, I've got leprosy. You know what, I'm sure what those people do as soon as somebody said that, run the other way just as fast as they could. Get away from them. Here we have leprosy. We've got 10 lepers in this state, in this condition, my friends, that have been took away from their families because of this leprosy they have, and they've been an outcast. They're considered an outcast. They have this incurable disease, and they cry out to the Lord. They weren't supposed to, could you imagine if it was Herod or somebody like that, if they had cried out to him, what he'd have done? You don't cry out to somebody for help if you got leprosy. You just cry out to people to warn them and tell them don't come any closer. But here they saw the Lord come, and they knew it was Jesus Christ. These all 10 right here were children of God. And he goes, and it came to pass as he went through Jerusalem, he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. You see, that's the prayer of the leper. Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. Cure us of this because we've done anything, but just because of your mercy, would you please cure me of this leprosy, and that I might go and I might be a whole person.
Master, have mercy on me. I mean, if God's ever imparted any blessings, He has been because of His mercy. It's been because of His grace. And I'm in need of God's mercy this morning. I'm in need of God's mercy each and every day that I wake up. I'm dependent upon God's mercy to carry me through the day. I'm not dependent upon myself. And here we have these 10 lepers here crying out, Lord God, have mercy on us. And he said unto them, and when he saw them in the 14th verse, he said unto them, go, show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. That as they went, they were cleansed as they were going. Now I want you to see here the faith that they had in trusting in God. He wasn't telling them to go to the priest so that they might be healed. The priest never did heal a man of leprosy. You go read it in the Old Testament. He was never there to heal anybody of leprosy. The priest was there to either declare them clean or unclean. That's what the priest's job. Was it leprosy or was it just a disguise? Was it something else or was it not leprosy? Was it or was it not? That was what his job was to do. And if he declared that they were clean, if somebody was clean of the leprosy, then there were a set of sacrifices and rejoicing that would go on at that time when he was clean. But the priest didn't do anything but just declare you clean or unclean. So see, they weren't turning. These 10 were turning and going to this priest. Excuse me, that the Lord had told them to go to seek to get clean. I believe that they already had trust in God that God was going to clean them, you see. And sure enough, on their way there, they were cleansed of the leper. Can you imagine what a time of rejoicing that must have been for those 10 lepers? To just cry out for mercy to God? To just cry to God and then just trust Him and do as He said and go to the priest and all of a sudden on your way, all of a sudden your leprosy is gone. What a great time of rejoicing. What a great time of hallelujah towards the Savior that He's cleansed me of this leprosy. You know, you think they'd all be just ready to go back and just fall down and worship the Lord. But I want you to listen. In the 15th verse, and one of them, when he saw that he was healed, now they all saw that they were healed. They all saw the healing effects of what Christ had done to them. But one of them had a reaction different from the other 9 when he saw that he was healed. When he saw that he was healed, it said he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And with a loud voice he glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. And he was a Samaritan, giving him thanks. There's thanksgiving right there. That man had something to be thankful for. He had all that disease removed from him. Not only himself, but all the 10. And Jesus said, did not I heal 10? But where are the 9? Where are the other ones that I've healed? Where have they gone to? It's not that they weren't children of God. It's just they weren't praising God for what God had done. There's a difference in prayer and praise. Did you know that? And I don't want to this morning try to make it sound insignificant, our prayers to God. For I hope you know that how I feel about our prayers to God. How vitally important our prayers are to God. But there's something more that God has for us to do, and that's not just praying to Him and going on, but that's when God answers our prayers, He desires that we would praise Him. And what good is prayer if we go to the Lord and He answers our prayers and He doesn't get the praise for it? He doesn't get the glory for it, you see? Oh, there's a big difference. But you got to combine prayer and praise. That's what this leper did. He not only prayed to God that He had mercy on him, but when God answered his prayer, he with a loud voice, he wasn't ashamed with whoever was around. He wasn't ashamed of those people that might have been around. I'm sure there was a lot of people around that witnessed that. But he wasn't ashamed of that. He with a loud voice glorified God. And that's not all he did. He said he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks. Fell down at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done. You've had Did you know there was a time, my friends, that we were a child of God, in the mind of God, before the foundation of the world? We were adopted before the foundation of the world. Because Paul says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy without blame before him in love. And he predestinated us unto the adoption of children. You're already in the mind and heart of God, a child of God, before the shore ever meet against the timely shore, before the sun ever came up for the first time. You are already in God's mind. In his heart, you are already a child of God. What a wonderful fact that is to know that. But I want to tell you what. We become laden with the disease of leprosy in the fall of Adam. We fell in Adam and we became leprous. We were removed from our family, you see. We were cast out, don't you see? We were taken away from the presence of God. And I want to tell you what we were there. That we had. We were shaven of any hair that we had. You know, a woman's hair is for her glory. She was shaven too. And I want to tell you what, we were left out there like that baby over in the 16th chapter of Ezekiel. You remember that baby that was born of an Amorite and a Hittite? It was left out there in the field to die. It was left out there dead, polluted in its own blood. We were left out in the field. You know what the field is? The field is this world. We were left out into this world, polluted in our own blood. It was our own blood, my friends. And what we did on that day there in the Garden of Eden. And I'm not blaming Adam, but my life, my thoughts, my actions declare that I'm no different than Adam was, and I've done the very same thing. So I can't blame Adam. I have to blame myself in Adam for what's happened. But we were separated from God. We had the sin. We had the disease of leprosy on us. We got to the point that man, he had no feelings whatsoever. His nerve endings were gone. That he was past sin. He could sin free and not have any guilty conscience of it. Not have any discernment of it, whether it was right or whether it's wrong. Just go headlong into it. Now, leprosy is not a whole lot different from who we were. You know, the Lord said, or Paul said, and we've quoted it so many times in the second chapter of Ephesians, and you have He quickened. That is a wonderful verse there when he says, and you have He quickened. To know that God has quickened us, that He's brought us out of that state that we were once in. But it'll do us good and give us thanksgiving to God if we'll see what state it was that we were in. He says, and you have He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversations in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. We were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. I want to tell you what, we like sheep have gone astray, Isaiah said. We've turned everyone to his own way. We've gone astray. God didn't go astray from us. We went astray from Him in the fallen Adam. We were removed from the family, from that family, from that adoption. We were taken out of that. We were removed from that for a time because there had to be something that had to be done. There had to be a cleansing, didn't there? There had to be a place. It didn't mean that you weren't ever part of God's family, that you were removed and you were never a part of the family. You were moved out of that family, and weren't you? Just like that leper was removed, he still might have had a family over here, but he never did get to be with them anymore. Even unto death sometimes. But I want to tell you what God did is He cleansed us of that leprosy, didn't He? He brought us back in to the family of God. He brought us back in and allowed us to come in and to rejoice in what Jesus Christ has done, knowing that He has healed me of this leprosy. He's delivered me. Oh, when we just think about where we would be without our Lord and Savior today, it ought to give us some thanksgiving. It ought to cause our voices to be raised up in glorifying God. I want to tell you, if it hadn't been for our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who came down here as a servant to His Father and died there on Calvary's cross, mine and your lot this morning would be an eternal lake of fire, would be hell, would be everlasting destruction, as He said in the 25th chapter of Matthew, "Depart from me into everlasting destruction." A place our bodies would be fashioned to be able to endure for an eternity in pain and in suffering forever and ever and ever on end. Never ending. That's what Jesus Christ delivered me from. People say, well, I don't believe in hell. I don't believe in a literal lake of fire. I believe hell is just talking about hell here on earth. I believe there is a hell here on earth. If I believe there's a heaven of God on earth, I believe there's a hell on earth too. But I want to tell you what, I believe that there's an eternal hell, just like I believe there's an eternal heaven. If there's not an eternal hell, I want you, indeed, you know, there's a lot of people that know hell is, don't believe in hell, but I want to ask you a question. When Peter reached out his hand on the water there, and he said, "Lord, save me, I perish." Would we all agree? We could all agree this morning that the Lord saved him there. He delivered him, didn't he? What did he deliver him from? He delivered him from drowning, didn't he? He delivered him from something. And he brought him out of that, didn't he? Deliverance is bringing somebody out of something. Okay? It's by God's mercy. Now, if there is no hell, and what they believe, if you're not a child of God, they believe in annihilation. That is, when you die, you're just like an old rover. You just roll over and that's it. I mean, there's no more of you at all. I mean, that's it. And if you're a child of God, of course, you go to heaven when you die. Well, if that's the case, and there's not a hell, then what did Jesus Christ die for? What did He deliver you from? Yes, you're going to go to heaven, but you're still going to die, aren't you? You're still going to die. Listen, there's funerals every day. People are still dying. He didn't deliver us from death. So if He didn't deliver us from death, and that's all there is to a dead end of sin is death, we're going to suffer the same thing that the dead end of sin is going to suffer. Don't you see? God didn't deliver us from anything. But I want to tell you, there is something that He did deliver us from. He delivered us from an eternal lake of fire. He delivered us from hell. And thanks be to God for that. You see, I read that over in the second chapter of Ephesians, "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." He goes on down through there, "among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh, and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." But God... You see, it's not "but man," "but we did this," "but we did that," it's "but God." Somebody explained to me one time the "buts" of the Bible, how important they are. You know, there's a difference in using the word and using the word "but." And he explained it to me like this. He said, it's like a train coming down a track. And when it comes to the railroad crossing, he said, if it's an "and," he just blows his horn, but he keeps on going. Alright? You think about this a little bit. When I say it, it'll make sense to you. He just blows his horn and keeps on going. And he said, but a "but," when the train comes to the railroad crossing, he says, it stops and it starts going backwards. It stops and it starts going backwards. You see, when you bring about a "but," there's a direct opposite. We were children of wrath, even as others. But God, there is a turning about here. And thanks be to God for that. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love, wherewith He hath loved us, even, listen to this, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. And he says in parenthetical phrases there, by grace are ye saved. By grace are ye saved. Aren't you glad this morning that when we come to God's house, it's not coming here as a soul-saving sinner? We're not here to try to give an altar call or to try to convince somebody that they need the Lord in their heart in order to go to heaven. We're not here to try to impress upon them that they're going to over here to go to Psalms 100. What a wonderful psalm this is. It's called a psalm of praise. That praise means thanksgiving. A psalm of praise. He says in Psalm 100, it's just five verses, but I want to tell you what is packed full of praise. He says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. You know, it's good to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. It's good to praise God openly. It's good that people see you praising God, because God gets the glory for it. And you know what? It can be contagious. It can be contagious when others see you praising and worshiping God for what He's done. And I'm not just talking about in the service here this morning. I'm talking about in everything we do, giving praise to God, looking to Him. Did you know that if we look to God and we're thankful and we see what He's done for us and we're thankful for that, all the problems in this world will subside? Did you know that? When you look to God and you see everything that He brought you out of and the places that He's going to bring you to one day, and you're thankful to that, God will carry you through the troubles and the trials. He'll bring you over that tumultuous sea, won't He? Saying, you know, over there in Ephesians, in the 5th chapter of Ephesians, what is about the 18th and the 19th verse, he says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit. Singing in your hearts, making melody in your hearts. Let me go back and get that. I believe it's the fifth chapter, the 18th and the 19th verse. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. You know that's exactly what we do when we come together in God's house. When we come together in the bride of Christ, the body of Christ is adorned with songs of praise, and we come together and we sing aloud because we're wanting to praise God. He says, sing aloud because of what He has done for us. Oh, how our hearts ought to be lifted up with thanksgiving to God when we come together. And I want to tell you what, my friends, you know, this isn't just talking about when we come together in God's house, but it's talking about, you know, when a dear sister's doing the dishes in the house and she's humming a song, or when you're in the shower, or when you're out working, or when you're anywhere out in the world there and you're singing a song in your heart, singing and making melody to the Lord. You know what you're doing? You're giving thanks to God. You're praising Him. Oh, I want to tell you how many times in those songs, these great songs of Zion and what our Lord has done, come across your heart and your mind throughout the week. There's some mornings I wake up and this one's right on my heart before I even get out of the bed. I'm already humming. What a wonderful blessing it is to have those songs to fill our hearts, to fill our lives. Because what do they do? They give glory and honor to God. They praise God for what He has done. And I want to tell you what we ought to do, that. The Apostle Peter said over there in the first book of 1 Peter, he says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. That peculiar doesn't mean odd. It means purchased. You're a purchased people. That ye should show forth, listen to this, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who called you out of darkness and into His marvelous light. That ye should show forth the praises. I want to tell you, what do we have to be down about, dear child of God, when we see the salvation is all for us and what Jesus Christ has done? Ought we not to be thankful? Ought we not to be singing praises to heaven, to God, for what He's done for us? I want to tell you what, no matter what the troubles or the trials are in this life, and there are many, aren't there? Well, there are many. We can always look to God and be thankful. In fact, a lot of times when the troubles seem even stronger in my life is when I'm more thankful to God. I say, Lord, I just can't wait. I was talking to Brother Josh the other night. I said, Josh, I just can't wait until that day comes. Josh goes, you know what? I can't wait either. You know, I like to hear men, I like to hear people say that I just can't wait. I worry about a man who says, no, I've got a lot more I'd like to do down here. I want to tell you what, I mean, I'm enjoying my life. I'm enjoying my family, don't get me wrong. But I want to tell you what, I'm looking forward to that day. And I hope I'm alive when it happens. I hope I'm in the pulpit when it happens. I hope we're here together singing praise unto God when He comes back. That last, when He comes back, it brings us to heaven. I'm looking forward to that day. But I want to tell you what, until that day Christ, as Paul says, I'm not ashamed of them. And I know you're not ashamed of them this morning. Listen, let me go on back over here to Psalms 100. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. Well, now those 10 lepers knew that. They called Him Master, didn't they? Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Thanks be to God. You know, David, over the 23rd Psalm, had great comfort in that, didn't he? The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures and leadeth me beside the still waters. I like the thoughts of being the sheep of His pasture. Enter ye, listen to this fourth verse, enter ye into His gates with thanksgiving. You know, when we come into God's house, it ought to be with thanksgiving. That's what we're here for. We're here to worship and thank God for what He's done. You know, when you've got that in your mind, when I've got that in my mind, it doesn't matter if there's just two or three gathered together. It doesn't matter if there's a whole room full gathered together. I'm here to worship and thank God. And I know by God's Word that there's a better day coming ahead. And it's not a matter of if, it's just a matter of when. It's coming. And that day is coming, and we can be thankful to God this morning and extol and praise His holy and righteous name. And it is coming. And that day is going to be here. And that we all will be gathered together in the sons of God and forevermore be basking in the glory of God. It'll be then that we'll be able to bow down at His feet and give Him all the thanks forevermore. But I don't want to wait till then, do you? I'll have to start giving thanks right now. Listen to what He says. Enter ye, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And His truth endureth to all generations. That truth that gives us such a great comfort, that causes us to rejoice. And God endureth unto all generations. I'm satisfied this morning, my friends, the old Baptist, the doctrines that the old Baptist cling tight to are the same doctrines that the Apostle Paul preached in the day of Christ, and it's the same doctrine that Jesus Christ gave to Paul by revelation. I believe it's the same one. I believe if Apostle Paul were to come in here and preach, I pray that there wouldn't be a difference in his preaching and the preaching that you hear in the old Baptist today, that it would be the same. Because it's kept from generation to generation. And it's because of that we come together to thank Him. You know, you ever had people say, well, if you don't use church as a soul-saving center, if you don't believe in getting people saved, if you don't have altar calls, what in the world would you go to church for? Oh my goodness, I want to tell you what, is there not all the reason in the world to go to church? Now to thank God, is that not our reasonable service, Paul said? That's our reasonable service. You know what he mean when he said that was our reasonable service? He's saying God's not going to give us anything to do out of duty and honoring and serving Him that isn't reasonable. That isn't reasonable. God said that's reasonable. That's reasonable. Oh boy, isn't it reasonable to come together in God's house and to worship Him. Oh, he said over here, let me get back over here. You know, over in John, in the 12th chapter of John, talking about our praise having an effect on everybody else. Talking about how our praise ought to be glorified to God and how it can be contagious and how people can sense that. Even in God's house, not just in God's house, but out there when we're out in the world. It said in the third verse of that 12th chapter of John. Now this is when Jesus was there with Lazarus and Mary and Martha after Lazarus had been raised from the dead, and they were eating there. He said, then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly. Very costly, precious ointment of spikenard that she took, and anointed the feet of Jesus
You know, to anoint the feet of Jesus, what do you got to do? You got to get down on your hands and knees, don't you? And she was willing to sacrifice whatever she had for the Lord and wiped His feet with her hair. And I want you to listen to this last sentence of this third verse. And the house was filled with the odor of the ointment. The house was filled with the odor of the ointment. Do you not want to, when you're praising God, for the house to be filled with the odor of your ointment, of your praise, of your service to God? You know, sometimes I love it when we come to God's house and the love is flowing abundantly and the singing is just joyful, isn't it? And it's just a time that we can come together and you can just feel God's presence all the way through it. Because it's a time of joyfulness. It's a time of the sweet savor of our praise, the sweet savor of our worship is going up into the Lord, you see. I want to tell you what, He's pleased with that. Oh, how many times have I been one of those nine that have went away? I've been that way a lot of times. I've been, thank you, Lord, I appreciate you answering my prayer. Now I've got to go on now. No, what I need to do is I need to stop and fall down at His feet and thank the One who's given me all that He's given me, both in this life and in life eternal. The blessings that He's given each and every one of us this morning, my friends. We'll never fully comprehend it until we go to heaven. But God allows us, these old mortal bodies, these old mortal minds, to be able to comprehend just what we're able to comprehend of. And what a great blessing it is to my heart, and what a great blessing it is to my soul. You know, there were some people over there in the first chapter of Romans. Say I'm going the wrong way. The first chapter of Romans. In the 20th verse it says, "For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things which are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Listen to this 21st verse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. And became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. They weren't thankful. Oh, there's been times in my life I've been very unthankful to what God's done for me. You know, it's not just good enough to say, well, I'm thankful for what God's done for me. But you know, sometimes, like I said, the remembrance of thankfulness can come about by events that happen that take away those things which we haven't been thankful for and we should be thankful for. But, you know, like the rain, we're thankful for the rain. I thank God for this rainfall. But you know, when you go through a prolonged drought like we're going into, it makes you more thankful for it, doesn't it? You get more thankful. You know, there's people that are praying down in Atlanta. And it's even getting on the news, people praying. But yeah, there's scoffers rising up. There's scoffers making fun of it, but let them rise up. Let them make fun of it. I'm not worried about them. But I thank God that He's making news that people are still getting together and praying to God in time of need. I thank God for that. I thank God. And lets me know there's just a little glimmer of hope for us in this country. That people still come together and they praise God. You know, in the old days, I won't say what you had to pray to God for the crops, for the rain, for the crops, because if they didn't come, you didn't eat. You starved. You had to be in earnest prayer and then thanksgiving to God for that crop. And be thankful for that. There's a lot of things we have that if we don't have, we forget to be. My eyesight, where would we be at today? Where would you be at today if all of a sudden your eyesight was taken away just like that? You'd become real thankful. You'd want to tell somebody else, wouldn't you? Well, I'll tell you what, you better be thankful you got eyesight. How many times have you ever heard people tell you things like that? You better be thankful you don't have this back problem. I know somebody that's got a lot of back problems, had years of back problems. He goes, you need to thank God that you don't have any back problems. You know what? I never had to really thank God for that before. I never had experienced that. But I begin to thank God for that. I begin to thank God for my health. And I want to tell you what, we needn't forget to be thankful for what God's done for us. The best way to remember what God's done for us is to go into His Word. He tells us what He's done for us.
He's reconciled us to wit that God was in Christ, reconciled himself unto us. He reconciled ourselves. He reconciled us through the blood of Jesus Christ. He said over there, was it in the fifth chapter of Romans? For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. Listen, this is the verse I was wanting to get. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by His death, by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. You see, it's the death of Jesus Christ that reconciled us, that brought us back in to relationship with God. And He's forgiven us our trespasses. He's forgiven us our sins. In fact, He said He can remember them no more. They're as far away from us as far as the east is from the west, He said in the Psalms. You can't get any further away from that. Why? Because of what Jesus Christ does. He has cleansed us. We have been washed and made whiter than snow because of what Jesus Christ has done. There is not a spot of leprosy on any of us this morning because of what Jesus Christ has done. But you know, sometimes it can be real. Sometimes, and I'm not just spooning this out to you. Before I spoon anything out, I got to take a big old spoonful of it myself. But I want to tell you what, we ought to be the more thankful to God for what He's done for us. We ought to be remembering what Jesus Christ has paid on Calvary's cross and what that brings us, eternally speaking. And even in this life, the blessings that God gives us. It's easy to be unthankful. It's easy to be unthankful when you don't know what you have to be thankful for. There's so many people out there in the world don't know anything about it, do they? Don't have any idea about what we're talking about this morning. That doesn't mean that they're not a child of God. That doesn't mean that Jesus Christ hasn't paid for their sins, but they just don't know it, do they? They don't even know to be thankful for that. And I want to tell you what, it's also hard to be thankful for something when you feel like you've done something to earn it. I get a paycheck every month. Where I work, my organization, the state, they pay you once a month. And when I get that paycheck, I don't sit down and write a big thank you note to the man in Raleigh, say thank you so much for giving me this money. You know why? Because I feel it's entitled to me. I'm entitled to that. I mean, I'm working for it. That's why I go get up and go to work. That's to me, you know, I'm thankful to God that I have that job that enables me to go to work. But you see, there's a thankfulness that people don't have because they feel like they're entitled to it. You see, when you throw works into salvation, you feel entitled to it then, don't you? You're entitled to it. Well, I'm entitled to it because I've done everything that's required of me. You know, you go and read about the prodigal son. You remember the prodigal son when he had all that he could stand there with his father there? And he wanted to go live a righteous life. And he went to his father and said, give me mine inheritance. He said, give me mine inheritance. Give it to me. You know what he's saying? He said, I'm entitled to it. Give it to me. I want it now. Isn't that a terrible way? There's no thankfulness in that, is there? It wasn't too long after that. The Bible doesn't say how long after that. That he went back to his father and he said, make me as one of thy hired servants. Make me as one of thy hired servants. Not now. He was just looking for mercy. Make me as one of thy. Don't give me this. Just make me as one of thy hired servants. Have mercy on me. See, there's a big difference in them there. You know, the world goes around saying, well, you have to do this and you have to do that. You have to accept Jesus Christ. You have to come down to an altar. And you have to do these things in order to go to heaven. There's no thankful. Where's the thankfulness in that? There's no thankfulness to God for that, is there? Who's the thankfulness going to now? The thankfulness now is going to the preacher, isn't it? Who preached that sermon and drawled somebody down the aisle. The thankfulness now is to that family who kept trying to get them to come on into church. And they finally come on into church and now they're saved. The thankfulness is to all that. There's no thankfulness to God. But I tell you where you try and find real true thankfulness, and that's to God for what He has done. Because it's by grace. You got that? It's not by works. Don't forget that but God who is rich in mercy. It's God that did it. It's not man that did it. No, we've got so much to be thankful for. Paul said, I think it was, I just had the thought in the 13th chapter of Hebrews. He says, wherefore Jesus also, that He might sanctify the people with His own blood, suffered without the gate. Let us go forth therefore unto Him without the camp, bearing His reproach. For we have no continuancy, but we seek one to come. Listen to what He says here. By Him, therefore, by Jesus Christ and what He's done, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name continually. That doesn't just mean some of the time. That means giving our praise to God continually. It's the will of God. That we, that sacrifice of our lips, He says, the fruit of our lips, giving praise to God. Thank God. Thanking God for what He's done. You remember that letter we read? With a loud voice, he glorified the Lord and what Jesus Christ had done for him. And then one more place there we want to go to in the 5th chapter of 1 Thessalonians. In the 15th verse, the Apostle Paul says, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and to all men. Now listen to what he says here. Rejoice evermore. Rejoice evermore. You know, Paul said that over in the 4th chapter of Philippians. He said, rejoice, and again I say rejoice. He says, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And that doesn't mean just praying continually, not ever eating, not ever going to work. That just means don't give up on prayer. Pray without ceasing. Let it be a part of your life. Don't get into a place in your life where prayer is no longer, where prayer is action in your life, but pray without ceasing. He says this in the 18th verse, in everything, give thanks. Now when Paul says in everything, he's not just talking about in everything when everything's going good. He's saying in everything, in all situations, giving thanks. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is the will of God, that we would give thanks unto Him. Again, Christ said over there in the 17th chapter of Luke, He says, have I not cleansed 10? Where are the 9? You see, there were 9 that left off. They might have been thankful in their heart. I'm sure they were thankful, don't you? I mean, I'm sure they were glad they were rid of that. But they weren't thankful enough to turn around and go back and fall down at His feet and worship Him openly and thank God for what He has done. There was one that did. There was one. You remember what the blessing was bestowed upon? He says, go, go thy way. That faith has made thee perfect. Your faith has made you whole. That faith there, I'm not going to get into it this morning, but that faith is not what, as some people say, is what made him get rid of the leprosy because he had faith in God. No, Jesus Christ, what Jesus Christ did cleared the leprosy. The faith that he had that God would do that, that Christ would do that and come back and worship him just completed who he was as far as a child of God in the eyes of God. It completed, it made him whole, you see, in the eyes of God and also in the eyes of others in his worship and service to God. God bless you. I appreciate the time.